Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's telephone conference of Allianz SE on the publishing of the financial results for the third quarter 2011. For your information, this conference will be taped. Right now, I would like to hand over to Mr. Christian Kroos. Well, good morning from my side, and welcome to the quarterly figures of Allianz SE for the third quarter. As usual, Oliver Bäte will guide you through the figures. Good morning, Mr. Kroos. That was a short introduction, and I'll try to be as concise as possible today, that we have as much time as possible for the questions. I will guide you through the individual slides, and I'll always mention the numbers of the slides so that we always stay on the same side, and then we'll hopefully have enough time for your questions. I would like to start on page 3 with the overview. We had total revenues of 24.1 billion euros and 1.9 billion euros of an operating profit, despite of the strong headwinds which we had, not just in the capital markets, but also from natural catastrophes, which still remain at a very high level, and we assume this to be unchanged over the next few months. How did the segments look like? Well, P&C, we had revenues of 10.8 billion euros, operating profit of 1.1 billion euros, in despite of further net cat losses. We'll talk about the components in more detail in a minute, but P&C, also in time of crisis, is carrying the operating result of the group. The same is also true for asset management here. We had an outstanding performance with an operating profit of 537 million euros, a very strong result. In life health, we had operating profit of 520 million euros, but this was impacted due to the crisis, which lowered our investment result by minus 224 million euros. This is above all write-offs to Greek government bonds that were still consequently devaluating in order and readapting to reflect the economic reality. Our quarterly net income of 258 million euros was heavily impacted by the financial market turmoils, 1.3 billion euros that we had to in write-offs on our financial investments in the third quarter alone. As you all know, the stock markets were below 25% down, but also the financial institutions fell clearly even more than this, and that is also reflected in our figures. Many accounting effects that we had to reflect in our results. Nevertheless, our capital position remains very strong and resilient at close to 179% due to the conglomerate directive, and our rating has remained stable also in outlook, and that's why we go with optimism towards the end of the year, and we also stand by our outlook for the operating result of 8 billion euros plus minus 500 million euros, which shows the stability of our business portfolio in spite of the volatilities and turmoils in the capital markets. On page 4, as usual, you can see the quarterly results and overview. Since the third quarter of 2009, our revenues have stayed more or less stable. If we take out foreign exchange effects, we had 1.8% effects, foreign exchange effects, and if we take them out, then we are 20 base points above the previous year, so flat in spite of the economic situation. The operating profit, minus 7.3%, the most important part stems from life health, as I've just mentioned. So we think that this is a really stable result against this backdrop. Then the net income dropped to 258 million euros. That's the main challenge. Many headlines were talking about that this was far away from the market. Well, the true fact is not that the difference stems from the wrong view of the tax effect. The restrictions in Germany and other countries are led to the fact that we have a effective tax ratio that is 25 basis points higher at 60%, and that explains the main difference to the analyst estimate. So it's a technical effect and not due to the underlying earnings power of the group, so it's a tax effect purely. Let me come to page 5, where we can see that our capital position is really comfortable. Over the next 2 years, we'll be dealing with financial solvency, and our shareholders' equity has increased. That is against the expectations of many of the analysts. There were several reasons for this. First of all, an increase in unrealized gains and losses. And then we had positive effects from foreign exchange and driving up the result, and then we had higher retained earnings, and so as I said, unrealized gains and losses increased by 100 million. Let me now come to page 7, the quarterly revenues of the group. First of all, as I said, we had a nominal reduction of total group by 1.8%, and if we take out foreign exchange effects, plus 20 basis points, so basically unchanged. And P&C flat, life health reduction, and it's important under these circumstances to write profitable business. There are unrealistic interest rates on deposits of banks, and we rather forego business than writing negative margins. Asset management, on the other side, has increased once again, and if we take out foreign exchange effects, another double-digit growth here. On page 8, you can see the operating profit divided by segments. Three of the four segments show the very strong development. Property casualty, in spite of massive losses from nat cats, we had 4 points on the combined ratio and on net cat effect. So they were worse than in the already difficult previous year, 106 million more from nat cats. But nevertheless, the result has remained flat. Asset management improved, corporate and other improved, life health minus 20.6%. That's above all due to the decreases in the investment result. 1.1 billion, as you'll see in more detail in a minute, and this is due to the volatilities of the capital markets. Then, once again, as in the past, we've forgone generating one-off effects to cover or hide that result. We don't think that this is a sustainable approach. We have to make sure that we can generate long-term stability and not just look at the short-term effects. On page 9, you can see the most important components of the non-operating business. And in order to focus the concentration on several points, I took out two lines. First, the realized gains and losses lines and impairments of investments, and then the assets and liabilities carried at fair value, the third line from the bottom. And the minus 617 of the first line and the minus 313 of the income from financial assets and liabilities carried at fair value, they explain what's changed. And I would like to talk about them in more detail. In the box on the right-hand side, on the top, you can see the changes in impairments. There was an increase from 32 million in the previous year's quarter to 931 million now. There were two changes in equities and in debt securities. Those were the areas where the impairments were really increased. When we look at equities, it's important to mention that 347 million were write-offs on Commerzbank. So that was something you could read in the newspapers. 57 million from CIPC, the CIPC investment, and 45 million from UniCredit. Those were the most important positions here. When it comes to debt securities, we're talking above all about impairments on the Greek sovereign bonds. In the last quarter, we had approximately 145 million in the life health business, then 30 in other areas, and then another 14 in Italy. Then we also formed reserves on the so-called HT1 guarantees that we're holding for Commerzbank. They will change. Those who've been monitoring us for quite some time will remember that we have a guarantee for a bond issued by Dresdner Bank, and that was then taken over by Commerzbank. And if Commerzbank doesn't post a profit according to German commercial law, then we will have to pay for this guarantee, and this year will be net 37 million euros that we're talking about here. So those were the main drivers for the business that and for the reason that our result in non-operating was reduced to minus 1.26 billion. Then another effect that we had was the balance of unrealized gains and losses in equities and in fixed income. From an accounting point of view, the balance has increased in fixed income from 2.4 to 3.8 billion euros, and we've foregone higher realizations from that point in order to get a better result, a better one-off result. On page 10, you can see our exposure to selected sovereign bonds. I don't want to talk about pigs or anything else that's neither respectable nor helpful, but we would like to show you the most important components. Italy, there's a major discussion about Italy right now, and I'll talk about this in more detail in a minute. But on the page on the bottom right, you can see the most important figures are for our investors when it comes to carrying values and the so-called unrealized gains and losses on the 30th of September 2011 on these positions. They show you, if we had had to realize at the point, what would the losses have been. That gives you an impression. And the position for the countries that from our point of view are critical was at 6.6 billion carrying value with unrealized losses of net only 177 million. If we add Italy to this, then the figure would go up to 562 million euros. So that's also not a major point. So in spite of the nominally high values that we're talking about, the net losses, if calculated like this at the end of the quarter, could be borne easily, and that's why we believe that the market reactions around the Italy topic are only driven by speculation and are not based on any economic realities, and it's about time that we stop these kinds of approaches. When it comes to the Greek government bonds, and the question is, what value have we written down the Greek government's bonds to, and what is the comparison to the nominal value? You can see in the blue box on top that at the end of this of September, we had written down to 38.9% of the original nominal value. That's significantly below the 50% that were agreed on. But I would also like to mention, if new bonds are issued with a haircut with longer durations than the ones we're holding right now, then potential losses in this area would have to be taken into account. So it's a comfortable position, but it doesn't give us any huge profit should the market recover. Now, one point, and when it comes to Italy, we believe that market situations are completely overblown. The political uncertainties, of course, haven't helped, but we believe that we are confident that a stable government will be formed in Italy, that over the short term we will see significant progress, both on the economic as on the political side. Italy is our second home market, and therefore we're taking a close look at the situation, and we have strong trust in that country, that Italy will be able to recover its situation and will be able to regain stability and political trust. And that's why we're really confident in our investment in Italy. Now, page 11, the net income. I've mentioned that the taxes do play an important role here. We had 386 million euros in income taxes on our profit. That's a tax ratio of 60%, as I had mentioned before, and that was something that the analysts didn't take into account. And 25 percentage points in increase in tax ratio purely from from new developments on our investments. So far on the group overview, ladies and gentlemen, now I would like to enter into the different business segments and talk about the most important news from PNC first, and then I'll come to asset management later on. On page 13, you see the most important headlines from property casualty. Revenues up 2.2% to 10.8 billion euros. Operating profit really resilient in spite of the natural catastrophes at 1.1 billion euros. A combined ratio of 97.6%, including 5 percentage points net cat burden and positive 3.6 percentage points runoff. And if we normalize the combined ratio as we're doing internally, that is to say we take this down to a normal net cat burden, we're calculating 2.8% for the year, and if we take a normalized runoff business and run of results that's typically between 2.5% to 3%, then you can see that if we compare this to the previous year, that our combined ratio was improved by 30 to 40 basis points. So the underlying trend is positive. Page 14 shows you the development on the revenue side. There were certain special effects, first in the lowest in the line down there, the United States, and the lowest line, crop insurance. I had mentioned this, and after storms, the prices for certain elements that we are securing for crop products, the harvest products, have increased quite a bit, and that drives up premiums there. We're growing beautifully in Asia and the UK. UK, we're talking about motor business above all, also growth in the motor business in South America, and we're also growing in Italy, so not just by premiums, but also in the number of customers. Beautiful development there. France, the customer decrease has been stopped. We're flat compared to the previous year, and we believe that we will grow there again. In Germany, we're still shrinking on a quarterly basis, but we're seeing a positive momentum, especially driven by the new motor product there. We had a special effect in reinsurance. Last year, we still had the quota share contracts with Munich Re, and that led to the reduction now because those were ended. Those are the most important revenue drivers, and I would now like to talk about page 15, which shows you the development of the operating profit. Here you can clearly see how the different quarters have developed. You can see that on the average of the last few quarters, we were somewhere between 1.1 and 1.3 billion euros, and against the backdrop of the net cash burdens, we can be quite satisfied with the result. In spite of one of the facts, 500 million euros more burden on losses from net cash and specific problems in the United States that we were able to balance by positive developments in France and Italy and strong, very strong results in our most powerful markets such as Australia, Spain and others. And the results for that you can see on page 16. You see the combined ratios, not just for the group, but also for the individual countries. In the first line on top right, you can see the huge burn from net cats in Germany. In the last quarter alone, we had 10.5 percentage points from natural catastrophes, which were already high last year. And now they are even higher, 3 percentage points up, not just from net cats, but also 4.5 percentage points from weather events that aren't classified as net cats, so power outages stemming from weather results that aren't included here. And also in Switzerland, we had high burdens from natural catastrophes in the third quarter. There seems to be a reduction there now. The other markets weren't that affected, just in reinsurance and with our major customers in AGCS, we had 7.7 and 8.8 percentage points, respectively. In the United States, in addition to the increase of reserves and fireman funds to counteract the negative development in the overall market, we still have 30 to 40% under coverage in prices in commercial lines. So that is why we increased our reserves there, and that led to, and we also have a 5.8 percentage point increase combined ratio from net cats. The cost development, expense ratio was good, 27.1%. We believe that, or we hope that for the overall year, we will come at an expense ratio of below 28%, which would be a great result in our showing our efforts to improve our profitability. On page 17, you can see the accident yield loss ratio. I don't want to go into detail here, but of the last 8 to 9 quarters, we had runoff ratios of between 3.4, 4.6, 5%. 5%, that's normal after crisis and high net cat losses because we have higher reserves then, and that leads to higher runoff. On the left-hand side, you can see that the individual elements of the accident year loss ratio with 1% plus in net cat. We had a positive price effect of 60 base points and 1.6% higher frequency and severity. There are special effects included here, reinsurance burdens, major losses, and the additional reserves that were created for fireman's fund. So the underlying trend is 1% due to my calculations, so we weren't able to fully set this off and balance this by the prices in this quarter. And we will have to make sure that we can balance this in the future. That's why we started several price developments for the fourth quarter. Page 18, the improved expense ratio from 28.1 to 27.7%, but you need to take into account that in the last quarter there are always accounting corrections, but nevertheless we're confident to come up with a result below 28%. Now I'd like to talk about in our investment portfolio. Page 19 shows the average growth there, and it's important to strengthen the average asset base in a low interest rate situation. There's one calculation that is almost forgotten. If interest rates drop by 1%, our combined ratio needs to drop 2.5% to maintain the same quality of earnings or profits. We had a significant reduction of interest rates, and of course P&C combined ratios haven't dropped accordingly, so it's important that we improve our asset base and improve our asset management. And you can see that over the last three quarters we had an increase in the average asset base from 89.5 to 97.8 billion, which helps us balance the profit. As you can see on page 20, here you see the operating investment income, and the most important line is here, interest and similar income. For the quarter, we had 957 million euros, so significantly above the values which we had at the beginning of the year 2009, for example. We can't always assume to reach interest rates that aren't that high, but the 900 million that we can always see as the basis regarding our asset base is at least 50 million above what we had in 2009. So good development when it comes to our assets, and we want to further improve that. So those were my comments regarding P&C, and I would now like to talk about life health, starting on page 22. Revenues of 11.8% with a healthy product mix. We're looking at profitability, and also that we're able to control our profitability, and that's important in a backdrop in which banks are entering the competition with the interest rate ratios that are out of any kind of reality. We have French banks offering more than 5% of interest on 36 months investments, and we don't want to join that kind of competition. We offer long-term stability and safety and don't want to have short-term exposure of that kind. That's why we forego certain growth trends, and that's the reason why we're not, one of the reasons why we're not growing in France right now, because that would be to the detriment of our safety and therefore to the long-term benefit of our customers. Now, the operating profit of 520 million was, as I said before, impacted by the lower investment result. We assume that the effect was approximately 224 million of each lower investment result. The value of new business was stable at 233 million, and the new business margin is at 2.7%. That's changed over the quarter. This was the figure for the beginning of the quarter. As interest rates went down, they were lower at the end of the quarter. Page 23, revenues, and a few comments on those. In Germany, we're stable at a very high level. We're growing in our health business, and we are in Switzerland. We had a reduction due to the extremely low interest rates. We reduced underwriting there. Then France, I mentioned this before. Italy, that's driven by the fact that our banking partner is taking care of high liquidity in their own deposits and therefore writing less business, but nevertheless the result was close to 1.4 billion is very good, especially compared to our competitors and the market situations. Benelux is going great, Spain as well, and we had a significant reduction in Asia. For once we decided to close our Japanese business due to the extremely low profitability. Following the tsunami, the economic outlook for Japan has dramatically been reduced, and we took the consequences from this, stating that we couldn't earn any money there. And then the second effect is that last year we had strong profits in Taiwan due to special effect, it's a special tax effect, which could be repeated. So we are satisfied with that structure in Asia in general. Eastern Europe is going up right now, and in the United States we are on track. We had a one effect last year because we changed our product, which couldn't be repeated. So in general, revenues are quite satisfying. Also, when we look at the net inflows, we're still positive there. As I said, in Italy, our banking partner is looking at its own liquidity, which led to a reduction to outflows, and then Asia driven by Japan. As I had mentioned, other effects are basically balanced. Market effects of -6.1, almost balanced by foreign exchange effects. The market effects were in Germany, Italy, and the United States, and then foreign exchange effects, 4.5, that's due to the U.S. dollar and the U.S. Life business, above all. On page 25, you can see our operating profits, and the investment result was the most important driver, as I've mentioned. Expense result was the investment result was positive, and the technical result also, and so that we could balance part of the reduction, or the expense result rather was positive, and that helped us to balance reductions of the area. The current yield, as you can see on page 26, was in line with our expectations. And on page 27, you can see the operating investment income. That's $1 billion below the previous year's value. And the second line on page 27 shows you the so-called net harvesting and other beautiful accounting term. And that result changed from €619 million to -714. And here you can see the effect and what's positive is that only 210% of this really went into our profitability. So we have a good balance, a good structure that's able to balance developments like these. On page 28, you can see that new business margins are stable. That shouldn't be overinterpreted. The end of quarter values are below those at the beginning of the quarter, but nevertheless, with our margins against the backdrop of the circumstances, we're satisfied. So much on life health, probably more in your questions and answers later on, but I would now like to talk about asset management. That's always something positive that we have this third chapter there where we can really close the discussion of our segments with a strong and positive message. On page 30 you can see that our outstanding performance continues, which is maybe an understatement against the market situation. Our total assets under management have grown again by 10.3% to 1,592 billion euros. So we still had net inflows, although they were reduced due to the difficult market conditions, but nevertheless inflows of 10 billion euros. And looking, our competitors really are in a much worse shape than we are here. The operating profit grew by 3.1% and to 537 million euros. And if we take out foreign exchange effects, we come up with an internal growth of 10.6%. The cost income ratio is at 59.5%, a fantastic result. And we will have to work on this, continue working on this, especially in the areas in which we have outflows. Page 31 shows you the development of assets under management from Allianz Group assets and from third-party assets under management. We had growth in both areas. And on page 32, you can see the third-party net inflows. And if we add up the first three quarters, we come up with a great value, especially if you look at the capital market as a whole. Page 33 shows several good news that I would like to talk about. Not just that we had an increase of 8.1% of net fee and commission income, or in internal growth it was even close to 16%, but you can also see that our dependence on performance fees was decreased. They are just half of in the third quarter of 2011 compared to 2009. And so this is grown, this is being reduced, and also the commission income margin is increasing, so we now have more direct customer business than PIMCO, but also more product with a higher margin, so that the income force, the underlying income force of this business is further increased. Page 34 shows you the operating profit components, the drivers here. We had net fee income up 100 million, and the reduction of, on the other hand, that was balanced by operating expenses, which is due to the fact that we're investing and building up our business at PIMCO, but also at Allianz Global Investors. Here we want to further increase our service abilities. We believe that we can continue to grow. And on the other side, we have so much more assets to manage that on the infrastructure side, we had to follow suit, and that's also reflected in the increased operating expenses. Then I would just like to mention the different segments on page 35 and 36. Fixed income, first of all, here you can see positive trends, very positive trends, both at the asset under management, in the three-year outperformance, and when it comes to operating profits. That's just what you want to see as an investor. So with 51.4% in the cost-income ratio, we still have a very good value, although it was increased, and it reflects further investments into the business. Page 36, the equity side, the development there. As planned, we've been able to improve our outperformance on a three-year basis. It just takes some time to really shape the platforms that we've integrated in order to outperform the market. But nevertheless, we had outflows that were due to the market situation in general. But nevertheless, when it comes to the industrial to the situation in the industry, that's a very positive result. But that, of course, had an influence on the operating profit, and also on the cost income ratio. Our aim should be to come down to a cost income ratio of 75%. That's, of course, not possible on a short term basis if we have outflows, but we will continue to work on our expense base here. So let me sum up the results of the third quarter on page 38. It's a different form that you've seen before. So we have three important messages, ladies and gentlemen. First of all our operating segments are on track, and our capital position has remained and remains resilient. The net income, then, second message, was heavily impacted by financial market turmoil, which we couldn't fully balance, but nevertheless, due to the strength of our operating profit and due to our solid capital position, we would like to encourage and underline our goal for the operating profit. 8.1 billion euros plus minus 500 million is our goal, and that remains unchanged. Thank you very much for your attention, and I'm looking forward to your questions. Thank you. That brings us to our question and answer session, and I would ask for the first question. Thank you. Today's question and answer session, ladies and gentlemen, will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We'll take questions in the order received. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press 1 after 1 to ask your question. First question of Michael Seving of Börsen Zeitung.
Yeah, Mr. Beate, Mr. Kurz, I have three questions. Allianz took the risk from the non-domestic government bonds reduced. What has been done? Were there also hedging positions as well? The second question relates to the bonds on the banking sector, which Allianz reduced to 9 billion euros. And is there a target value for Allianz for these subordinate bonds, or is this going to be reduced continuously? And the third question relates to NatCat. Since early October, there were major losses, and so they said that no assessment is possible. Can you give us an idea, and you refer to your forecast, but isn't there no further room to maneuver or flexibility for further NatCat? Let me start with the third question, Mr. Fleming. With regard to the concrete figures for the state government bonds, I'm going to give you the end. NatCat, of course, they're going on. So we do know for Thailand, we don't know the figures yet. So we're going to see that once the water goes back and once the losses can be identified. Now, in primary insurance, we don't see that much burden because of the reinsurance, because we're always integrated into some agreements. There's a lead reinsurer, And once these estimates are stable, then we can do this two or three weeks from now. Today is not possible. But further to operating result, Mr. Fleming, I don't want to be too optimistic, but the result dynamics in France and Italy and Australia is so positive because we were consistently working there, so we believe that these volatilities can be balanced out. So I'm still positively optimistic, and as regard to our competition, our PNC is great, and on the cost area we're making progress as well. That is why we want to stick with that, and that's not unrealistic. The second topic is the true burden comes rather from what is happening in the capital markets. I'm less concerned about NatCat rather than being concerned about the questions in the capital markets. I mentioned to Italy before, we hope we expect that there's going to be a good government and that everything smooths out there. Greece is continuing to stay difficult. That is our idea about it. And there will be further burdens in the fourth quarter on our books. So it's less than the operating business. And let me repeat the statement. The operating areas are running very well, considering that the framework conditions and our volatility is derived from the financial assets in the corporate segment, which is a good news. The reduction of subordinate bank bonds, yeah, that goes on. The key component is not what we want, but how much liquidity is in the market. Irrespective of the price position of these capital assets or investments, quite often there's low demand and we don't want to sell it off at any price. That means we've got a very concrete plan, and this item is going to be reduced. It's quite important. When it comes to reducing government bonds, we're consistently taking care. In those countries where we have a critical perspective, we take care that to reduce items systematically, which does not, by the way, apply to Italy. And what about short positions? No. We don't take any short positions, principally. Thank you. Next question. The next question comes from Axel Höppner from Handelsblatt. Thank you. Hello, Mr. Peter. I've got rather two general questions. First of all, the speculations around Italy, they should be stopped. Could you explain what you mean by that, ending these speculations? And probably Allianz should probably get more involved publicly with these cost crisis and debt crisis in the topics. Well, I see colleagues who have a different idea. I mean, we were largely involved. Mr. Achleitner and Mr. Diekmann, despite their criticisms they've received also from colleagues, they were committed and came out with about ASIM and mechanism, and we received a lot of complaints because they said that Allianz wants to make money with it and not with only. No one understood it, and it took us 1 year to show that for optimal use of the guarantees and the funds, for the protection of the people, these funds can be used, and I'm happy that we were able to be strong in this area. That's why the task of Allianz should be not to say in the press that everything can be better, because that's part of the politician. What we want to do in debt, we want to render technical support and render our expertise in the capital market. Because, by the way, as opposed to others, actually we shouldn't be suspicioned. I mean, we don't make any money with capital market speculation. We're not shortening any stakes, and we're profiting from the stable markets. That means we have a large interest in doing that, in improving the situation. Michael Heiser, our chief economist, is permanently traveling and issues clear statements about the question, what happens in the greater economy? So you should not forget, this is an over-debtedness crisis, and the lack of crisis and debt management of the states, which for the states you're using low interest in order to get over-indebted rather than investing into other infrastructure. That's a difficult process. We can only comment that. But that's basically a part of the politicians. We are not willing, make any political risk decision. Well, stopping about that, the speculations, and although I was trained in the U.S., I have difficulties understanding how the capital markets are working at the moment. In some asset classes, we have a buyer strike at the moment, which is systematically used by speculators, and although we've been discussing about this for 2.5 years, that we need more transparency, that we trade more, and shorting, not for securitization, and that's what not happened. We don't have any central counterparty, we don't have the transparency, and if I'm allowed to say that, then needs to happen something urgently, because that not only hurts the shareholders of Allianz, but also hurts the customers of Allianz. Due to the high volatility, we're not able to invest into asset classes which render a sufficient profit for the pension insurance of our customers. And that can't be within the interest of the society. Thank you. Thank you very much. Next question. Christian Kremer from Reuters. Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. My first question relates to Italy. Your task today obviously is to keep Italy stable or resilient. You're much more positive than other experts. My question aims at worst case, scenarios. In Greece and Italy, it's difficult to... what about if Italy fails? And if Italy suffers the same fate than Greece, that what would happen in this worst case scenario? What would happen to Allianz? The second question, you mentioned that the net profit is considerably below the previous year level. Can I also conclude from that the dividend will be reduced considerably for 2011? And the next question about the net cats in the third quarter, can you give me an estimate what are the one or two major burdens, maybe the storm in Germany, Hurricane Irene, and also the write-offs on ICB and Hartford? I don't have this yet. Can you tell me? Thank you. Well, a lot of questions, Mr. Kremer. Let me start with the technical ICBC. There was one no loss, but Hartford warrants, there were 208 million euros.
A book loss.
Euros, yes. And this was driven by two factors. On the first hand side, this was a reduction of the share by 39% in the third quarter and an increase of the volatility of this share to 36%, which drives the value changes. It goes up and goes down. And the second topic, Nat Cat, and the answer was given by you already. Basically, there are various storms that hit this, and you're right, this year, they got male names, Achim and Bert, which are male names, and then we got Storm Frank. And in the U.S., they're always using female names. It's amazing. That was Irene with 82 million euros in Germany. There were 230 million euros in the total storm losses. But this is not like over-voltage cases or any cases which were significant. That's okay, it's cases that have to be looked at. When it comes to dividend, it's a very important topic. I have three people giving me notes here at the same time. In the past, and that's really important, for years with so-called normal business development, I'm going to talk about that, whether, at least if the realization profits in the normal range, and once we have a normal relation between operating result and net result with this tax quota of 35%, we have a different quota of 40% of the group annual surplus corresponds to what our disbursements with regard to growth. So we've maintained this for years. We've been doing this. And further, for the calculation of our solvency, this is the key figure that it becomes evident. You know, sitting in an environment of a market where we're sitting in at the moment, this quarter does not make sense. Let me repeat that. It does not make sense to do non-operating write-offs and tax special effects impair the relation between operating sale and annual surplus massively. Due to this resilience of our operating business, I'd like to stress that again, and our stable capital position, we strongly believe that the disbursement quota for business year 2011 will be above 40%, of course. That means we were not sticking to the 40%, and under the reservation, we're going to see this by the end of the year, that our capital position is going to be quite strong and continues to be strong, which we expect. We're going to double-check that at the end of the year, and then we render a proposal as a board to the supervisory board, who makes the final decision But we're going to say we're not with the 40% disbursement quota, making a statement at this point, what is the dividend, would not be serious given the current conditions. Then I'd like to say something about Italy. I don't get a commission from the Italian government to speak about it positively. Let me repeat one key figure. The private asset in Italy, the private property, that means in the companies and the private households as related to the gross national product is below 80%. Like Germany, we're being praised as being fixed in the crisis, it's only 130%. Italy is an extremely rich country. And there's no economic problem with regard to the performance power. There's a political problem they're suffering from due to very high real salary inflation and low productivity development in the past few years. We've got declining development and the gross national product per capita. This can't be going on. But the politicians did not adequately address that. We're going to get a new government. I'm quite positive that we're going to see the right results, but I'm also a bit biased. I haven't lived there I've lived a few years there. I was there in 92. They had the last crisis, and they had to give themselves a push. And the dynamics is much more resilient than in Greece, and it can't be compared at all. Dramatically overburdened Greece. They don't have any exports. They don't. There's more than 60% of employment in the public sector. Economically, not comparable. But I feel that a lot of people are being paid for talking badly about Italy. But what would happen in the worst case if we had a 50% haircut? With this portfolio, we're at 12, 13 billion euros. Now, I'm not speculating whether tomorrow the sky will fall on our heads. This is not my task to think about topics which I cannot see on the horizon. Very sorry. I'm not speculating that Germany goes bankrupt or the US, so I don't have to be worried about that. What? So I don't need to worry about my life insurance and Allianz. No way, of course. That's a promise. That is a promise. That is a promise. You don't need to worry about your life insurance. No. Next question, please. A question from Ulrich Kitzon. Oh, no, this question was just withdrawn. Herbert Fromme from Financial Times Deutschland, the next question. Yes, good morning. I've got three questions. First of all, you emphasized that we're not making money with speculations against states. Does that also apply to PIMCO? Second question, your North American P&C business is in the red, deeply red. I mean, that's been for quite some time. You're not making progress there. And there's still 50 million which are not mentioned because these are reserves for Fireman's Fund for asbestos risks. What's happening? Because Allianz have been doing this for years. I mean, somewhere between the border, between lost light euphoria and the drawbacks. Now, the third question, in private health insurance in Germany, you also said that you expect to reduce the contributions from full insurance. What is that policy? You don't want any full insurance any longer because you're reducing contributions? These were your questions? Yes. We do want full insurance because we believe that a private capital provision, not only for pension but also for health insurance, is the right answer. But we have political framework conditions available, which make a lot of products unattractive for customers, and we have to accept that. So we need a political decision. That means to understand how much of our health insurance should be based by capital and by a distribution. And the second topic, you know, the competition about full insurance, Mr. Fromme, is extremely characterized by a lot of competitors. I mean, a lot of competitors are running behind a few customers, and the conclusion costs and the agreement costs are quite high. We do not want to be part of this competition. We have clear ideas of the conclusion costs and the deal costs, but we believe that we can attractively grow with regard to additional insurance, which is an important topic for us in Germany. This will not only relate to general coverage, but also for coverage for special topics like cancer insurance or other specific parts. And we see a strong growth here. Not only there's a high demand, but that we also have good products. That's why we're focusing on that, and that this is going to be good for Allianz and also good for customers. PIMCO. In PIMCO, we have a clear standpoint what we believe are attractive assets and not for customers. And we do not speculate, and we're not shortening in individual countries. Well, certain derivatives are used in order to buy indices, and where certain country exposures, which we do not want, will be excluded. If someone buys a bond in the index and wants that, no, I don't want to invest in Colombia, then we eliminate the exposure towards Colombia by a so-called derivative hedge. But not like in hedge fund, we have not used a systematic shortening with regard to an expected devaluation of a title. That needs to be differentiated. There is a security position that we also do in order to hedge the interest risk. And then we not to do this to shorten that in order to gain short-term profit. North America, that's a difficult topic, of course, Mr. Former. Well, coming back to the facts, the Fireman funds, the reserves are not 150 million, but 50 million. And let me explain that before. But the business report on page 20 and footnote 4, it says 153 million. So, but you said that for asbestos was 150. No, no, that's not right. That relates to all units of Fireman Fund. But footnote, there's a strengthening of the reserves for 2011 of Allianz for Fireman's Fund insurance and HGCS for asbestos risks amounting to 153 had no effect on the result. I can repeat it. Fireman's Fund had 150 million. Can I finish my sentence? We have reserves. And for asbestos on a group-wide perspective. And then, specifically for fire and funds beyond asbestosis, we have individual units, and particularly the workers' compensation insurance and other so-called industrial units. Let me explain asbestos again. For the second time in 2 years, so we're doing this for each year, we didn't have to so frequently. We're performing studies in individual companies in order to analyze the damage development and the loss development with regard to environment and asbestos, and the trends that we see. The biggest part coming, by the way, not from changes of loss, but from the inflation from the legal costs, specifically in the Anglo-Saxon world, up to 80% of the costs inflation come from legal fees for lawyers. And in the past, we focused on the Anglo-Saxon markets predominantly. For the first time ever last year, we performed a systematic analysis in Italy and HGCS that have taken over a French portfolio from the previous LGF and other countries like UK in order to understand the long-term trends. Coming out of this analysis, we understood that the assessments that we made with regard to previous years, particularly after review on a group level, were too high. That means we've generated too many reserves in the past, and then we drove a balance between the reserve that we driven up in the country, in the OEs, with a simultaneous dissolution on the group level reserve. And that explains the asbestos and environmental reserve that not only relates to fireman's funds, it's just one-third of this entire amount. But that relates to various OEs of Allianz, and I'm taking this topic very seriously. When we talked about the 2010 results, you might have heard that I spoke about Fireman's Funds and other OEs, and I mentioned gross reserves, and we dissolved them, we reduced them, which is better. Because from a shareholder perspective, the OEs reserves, and they make capital profits, and then the cost inflation and the group reserve does not have the same capital. That's why we are able to improve the capital position of the balance sheet. We increased reserves, like we said before, for the workers' compensation because we got a strong increase of inflation in 2 years. So the trend is not really clear yet, but there was change of jurisdiction in the U.S. and because there is no written law and because it's case law, and various changes have been made that massively increased inflation, not only for Allianz, but also in the entire industry. And the third topic relates to the U.S. market. Between 30 to 40% still below the technical required rates, and we want to make sure that on the reserve side, once the market turns, we'll be sufficiently equipped in order to take part in the growth. But it's just right what you said, Mr. Frommer, that, you know, since we own this company, we're going up and down and with this company, and we have to clear up the situation. So we exchanged the entire management in the summer and also the CFO, and we're working in a new business model. And two years ago, the marine business, which is quite profitable in order to, we transferred to RTS in order to be a world market leader. Residual costs massively reduce the result in fireman's funds. So we are reducing costs massively. In the second topic, you need to think about this the scale effect, because if a market is so volatile with regard to turnover, you need to make sure that the cost base is either quite flexible or you have enough scale in economies of scale in order to sustain these volatilities. And so we're thinking, we are quietly committed with the new management, and early next year we're going to give you a clear picture where the travel goes, where the trip goes. But it's not a favorable topic. So that means you have to acquire or sell. Well, first of all, we want to refurbish the whole shop, because if you want to sell something, it must be right. And if you want to buy something, you need to have the right operational performance. And that is our priority. To understand this right, so the 153 million will not be part of the result. That means that would be a further deterioration, or did I get that wrong? No, what we do, you know, by taking over this item, I made a review, and we've got a so-called group level reserve. That means in the past, out of the profits, we wrote a reserve for those cases that we have to have subsequent reserves in the OEs. Yes. Right. Now I got it. Yeah. So the money is earned and is not hidden somewhere, if you ask yourself about that. Thank you.
So next question, please.
We will now have
Stefan Bayer of DPA AFX. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I have two questions. First of all, regarding the losses from NatCats in the third quarter, could you tell us the large ones? I believe the hail losses in Germany, and you also mentioned Irene, whether you have individual sums of how you were affected by this. And then the other question, a general problem, the interest rate levels. So here, income and guarantees are dividing, and Swiss Re mentioned this 2 months ago as a highly important problem. So what's your reaction? Will you now be investing in Italy where you see higher interest rates, or how do you see yourself positioned against this backdrop in order to affect problems in the future? Okay, let me start with the second question. The underlying interest rates in Germany have reached a very low level. In other countries, due to the high spreads, we have significantly higher interest rates, but they are linked with risks. So let me give you a technical answer. Wherever we have very stable liabilities, so that we don't have to fear cancellations of customers, which would lead to the fact that we need to sell capital assets with a loss, we can't afford not to look that much at capital spreads. That's the basic function of the insurance business that's always forgotten in public view. If we have stable liabilities, we don't have to look at spread risks that much, even if that's not that much reflected in our accounting. So the basis is that you have stable liabilities and are protected against cancellation risks. And especially in Germany, where we have huge safety measures, even for the case of higher numbers of cancellations, that's why we increase, also take on positions that do not have that much liability in daily business or higher spreads, because we can deal with them. But of course we take a close look at the fact that those spreads are not the indication of higher failure risks. That was maybe due to one reason for the discussion with Mr. Kramer on what's speculation and what is hedging against long-term failure risks. Now, the interest rate situation in Germany, that's a special situation. We've worked for 2 years on the question of what we can do against this low interest rate backdrop. One practical example, the German insurance industry has increased the additional reserves policies. So there was an initiative by Allianz Life, by the way, in order to stabilize the industries and not just us. So we have to form additional reserves if interest rates drop down a certain level, and we take this from a fund in order to strengthen us. Everyone believes this is a question of just investing. No, it's also a question of setting up the reserves in order to be able to fulfill the wishes of our customers. And through this additional reserve for interest rates, it's secured under any circumstances that we can fulfill our liabilities in every case. Last year we said with an interest rate of 1.5%, we can sustain 18 years, and now we can sustain much, much longer. And that's important to know, that the money of our customers is safe. And what are we doing on the investment side? Well, I assume that we will even profit from the banking crisis, which sounds strange at first, but what I mean by this is that many of the banks, in order to improve their liquidity and capital position, will have to offer or will have to sell highly interesting real estate portfolios in order to get their costs in, grip on their costs. And we are ready to take over some of these portfolios because due to the stability of our liabilities, we are able to balance volatilities, and I believe that our position will be able to improve in the future. Right now we're seeing many assets that the banks want to get rid of, and then you have to be patient and wait for the right investments, but they will come. So in spite of the low interest rates in the Bund and in Germany, I'm still optimistic because there are enough other investment forms that enable us to fulfill our liabilities towards the customers, but also are able to offer them significant contributions to their old age provisions. So I'm optimistic, and not just because I'm a professional optimist, but I believe that we can also profit from the reduction of capital in the banks. Okay, which types of assets would that be that the banks would have to sell? Well, for example, long-term mortgages that are secured. We have mortgage bonds in our portfolio. We're building this up. Banks, of course, try to sell other elements before that, but I believe that there will be pressure to sell on banks, not just to fulfill the requirements of Basel III, but also the recapitalization norms. Okay, now let me talk about the storms. I had mentioned this before. In 2011, we had in the third quarter, we had 413 million losses from Nat Cat. And the three most important ones were Achim and Bert, the storms in Germany, 115 million euros. Then Frank in Germany again, another 115. So 230 million from Germany. And then Irene with 82 million euros also in the third quarter. Thank you very much. So that's 4 points in the combined on the combined ratio. Okay, thank you very much. Next question, please. Ladies and gentlemen, just to remind you, if you want to ask a question, please press asterisk 1 on your keypad. And the next question is from Ulrike Dauer of Dow Jones. Good morning, gentlemen. I have two questions on the dividend. So the first one, you always wrote in your business report about the accrued dividend for the 9 months. That and for 2010, for example, it was 1.6 billion for 9 months. And I just wanted to hear whether you can tell us what the figure was after the first 6 months. We had 900 million, and now what's the situation after 9 months? The second question, maybe I missed that. What's the equity ratio that you currently have? 7% was the last time. Okay, according to the laws of physics, it's gone down, but you'll get you the specific figure in a minute, Ms. Dauer. And now, the dividend accrual is often misunderstood. We're only doing this because of the conglomerate directive, because here it says that we would have to take the dividend out of the solvency ratio. But that's not an indication of what the real dividend will be. I will give you the figure in a minute. I believe it's 821 million or so. But that's not the calculation for dividend payment. Dividend payment will be decided based on liquidity and the capital position. And the 40% was set up historically based on a certain ratio between operating result, tax burden, non-operating income, and all this has been taking apart, so the 40% can only be the lower rate. So the equity ratio, by the way, is at 6%. Okay, thank you very much. Next question, please. The next question is of Sebastian Rabe of DPA. Well, good morning. I just have one follow-up. Mr. Heinen of Wüstenrot talked to the newspaper Stuttgarter Nachrichten and said that his industry would try to reduce the number of dormant reserves that need to be paid out in life insurance business. Would you add to that, and how important is that from your point of view? Well, that's an important topic. If you have a minute, Mr. Rabe, that's a complex situation. There was a decision by the Constitutional Court saying that the customers have to participate in the dormant reserves that were generated by their money, and what they forgot in the court was that in addition to dormant profits, there can also be dormant losses. And what's happening now? There are institutional customers trying to close a contract, and whenever it's possible for them, they try to cancel the contract to get the dormant reserves, especially if it's unattractive for the insurance business as a whole. And life insurance can only work if we save over the long-term basis, and if the reserves that we build up are then being used to balance volatility that we're seeing currently in the capital market. And if we enable individual members of the insurance collective to take out reserves, this is to the detriment of the customers. This is to the detriment of their yields, not of Allianz, but the customers get 90% of the yield, and it's to their detriment. So many customers, they're not trying to arbitrage the insurance collective. And what Mr. Heim is referring to is the fact that, first of all, you need to have a participation in profits and losses when it comes to the dormant reserves, and that the participation also has to follow the wishes of the collective of insurance holders and not to the individuals, because there's a group of people contributing here and not individuals. So that's speculation against this collective of insurance holders, which was what the Constitution Court was looking for, and that's why we'd like to see this corrected. Next question. Another question by Ms. Kristin Krim of Reuters. Well, that's a follow-up on Italy. You had mentioned something before, and I didn't get this. So did you reduce Italian government bonds in the third quarter or not? And then, second question, have you written off Italian government bonds? And if you could also mention how long and where you've lived in Italy, then I could mention this to make sure that you're not just a professional optimist. Well, we'll leave the individual elements aside here. I've done my military service there, and we can talk about this privately, but I mentioned this because it's our second core market. And government bonds, well, when it comes to write-offs, well, there are clear IFRS lines and standards what needs to be written off, and that in the case of Greece, we therefore said when there was the first effort to restructure the debts, we needed to correct the values to market value because we have them available for sale, and there are clear standards. And that's different for the banks, by the way. They sometimes have them on their books, and then cash flows are estimated, and you can then shy away from devaluating to market value, which is not what we're doing, because we believe it takes away trust from our accounting. For Italy, we don't have any value restructuring, and that's why we didn't have to take any write-offs. But the same is true for Italy, for Ireland, excuse me. There were no restructurings there, and as long as this is not the case, we don't have to write down anything. The net position in Italy, I don't have it here, but I don't know that at the group level we would have reduced our position. It could be that in individual portfolios of our companies, there were shifts, but that doesn't have anything to do with going long or short. We also have other elements like liquidity and duration in our portfolio that do play a role in capital investment. So we're not just thinking about government debt, but we also have to think about liquidity and duration management. And I hope that this explains your question. Yeah, thank you very much. Next question, please. Currently, we don't have any additional questions. Excuse me, there was an additional question now of Cornelia Knut of Management Magazine Online. Well, I have one question on the selling of Italian government bonds. Wasn't the last figure of your commitment there 29 billion? Now there's a reduction of several billion. Could you explain that to me? Well, that's got to do with the fact that we don't maintain positions just based on the gross volumes, but also on the prices. And if the price of a position drops, then this will lead to the fact that the position will drop. So that doesn't have anything to do with the selling of government bonds to the ECB? No, no. And we couldn't, by the way. We don't have any direct access to ECB, but we wouldn't sell any Italian debts. Okay, are there any additional questions right now? Yeah, now we have a question of Jonathan Gold of Reuters. Well, good morning. Just a quick question. Even though you don't want to give a figure, or can give us a figure for the Thailand flood, just whether you can give us an estimate on the price level for the region. Well, Mr. Gold, that's real difficult to state at the moment right now. What I can say is that this kind of damage wasn't modeled in the local risk models there. It's not just a natural catastrophe, but it's also due to the fact that certain wastewater systems didn't exist. So it's a mixture of man-made, as we call it, man-made cast and net cast, and that wasn't included in our models. And you can assume that this kind of coverage will lead to higher prices or changes in the requirements there in the terms and conditions. But we will see at the end of the year what this will be about. Okay, as we don't have any additional questions, I would like to hand over to management again for closing words. Thank you very much for your participation. I hope you will have a great day and a great weekend. See you next time, or hear you next time. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference, and we would like to thank all the participants and wish you all a beautiful day. Thank you.